We have the mayor of Miami in Florida, from Florida, as I said this morning, at St. Anselm College Institute of Politics. Heard a lot about him. Mayor Suarez, nice enough to call in this morning. Good Morning, New Hampshire, on our network of news talk stations. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for being, thank you for having me. I think next you can say the mayor of America. promote me from mayor of Florida to mayor of America.
Talk about this. I think you won with like 86% of the vote. Miami, even though Florida saw more of a red wave than other states, it's not really known as a Republican conservative stronghold. Tell us about you being mayor, your story and why you've been able to be so successful. It's a pretty big city.
And I am president of all the mayors in the country, so it would be a little bit appropriate. But I'll tell you that we've succeeded because we followed three simple and basic rules. We've kept taxes low, we've kept people safe, and we lean into innovation. I reduced taxes during my tenure to the lowest level in history, and we saw unprecedented growth. We grew 12% last year in property values and in new construction. I invested a lot of the resources, even though we were able to keep taxes low, in keeping people safe. We never got into this nonsense that happened across the country of defunding police. We invested in our public safety. We invested in our men and women in blue. We gave them the technological tools to be successful. And we had last year the lowest per capita homicide rate since 1964. And this year, we're almost a little more than three and a half months into the year, we're 40% below last year's number. So it's been an incredible success story. And the third thing we've done is lean into innovation. We realize that in order to compete in a hyper-competitive, hyper-dynamic and disruptive world that we live in, we have to be able to understand these competitive pressures and build our ecosystem, whether it be our city, our state, or our country, to meet those challenges. So right now, we're number one in the nation in wage growth. We're number one in the nation in technology job growth. We're number one in technology job migration, and we have a 1.4% unemployment. Adding to that, and focusing on health and quality of life, you know, we were named the happiest and healthiest city in America, and we have 608 homeless in our city and have put out a plan to be the first major urban city in America to have zero homeless. We already have zero veteran homeless, which
wow.
they call functional
thank,
zero.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Yeah, that's been our story.
Mayor, I think you're the first ever local-born Miami mayor, but you have some great
that's
history
right.
here. I think you're the son of a former Miami mayor, correct?
That's right.
And born in Cuba originally?
My dad was born in Cuba. My mother was born in Cuba. They came at 12 and 7, respectively.
Wow.
My dad was a ninth of 14 kids. I came to this country and emigrated to Washington, D.C. And because of the blessings of this country, he got a full scholarship to St. Anselm's High School in D.C., not college. Went to Villanova undergrad, where he graduated with a presidential scholarship, summa cum laude, full scholarship. And then he got two graduate degrees, an MPP and a JD degree from an Ivy League school. So it's a beautiful American success story of coming from nothing mm-hmm. and this country giving us everything, every single opportunity for us to be successful.
Now, Francis, you're listening, by the way. Francis Suarez is the mayor of Miami, Florida, live on Good Morning New Hampshire, GMI Studios, the Pulse of an H. You're at St. Anselm College Institute of Politics this morning. I heard it was a very vigorous, very animated, good event. What are you doing in New Hampshire, Mr. Mayor?
Well, I mean, I've been pretty public about the fact that I'm considering running for president of the United States. And I've been on a listening tour. I've obviously been to, across the country, starting from the West, Nevada, then South Carolina and Iowa, and now New Hampshire. So I've been listening to people, doing something that I think a lot of politicians fail to do. They don't listen. And then also share with them why I think that a mayor of a city, a large international city, has a formula that could be successful prosperity in this country, that it could be scaled. And I think, oftentimes people will say, well, you're young. And I say, well, I'm a little older than my governor, which people don't always know. And then they say, well, you're only a mayor. And I say, yeah, but the decision, first of all, Washington hasn't been a particularly successful model, right? And the decisions that you make as mayor, and particularly a mayor like a city like ours, it's very international. They're scalable, right? In the sense that making tough choices, mm-hmm. Standing up to the press sometimes that has this philosophy that government is the answer to all problems, when we know that it's not, and we know that the country that my parents came from, a leader said, just give us all your property, give us all your businesses, and don't worry, we'll make everybody equal. And
yep.
they did. They made everybody equally miserable and equally poor. And that's infecting American cities. You know, 85% of America is in American cities, and 91% of our GDP is produced by people who live in American cities. So, I think someone who's successfully created an ecosystem like ours should be able to scale that to create a prosperity for many in the country.
What kind of timetable are you on to make a decision, Mayor Suarez? And are you more likely to run for president in this cycle or just exploring the possibility? What's your timetable?
I'm in the final stages of the due diligence process. I think, you know, in order to be successful, particularly someone who's unknown like I am, right, has just to start from zero, like a lot of Americans who feel sort of forgotten, you cannot miss the first debate, which is on August 20th, which you have an opportunity to share this message of prosperity and success on a national stage. So you sort of have to back out of that. The Republican Party has announced certain thresholds that have to be met for you to reach that stage. So I think you have to sort of back out of that. And so the time is drawing near to a decision one way or the other. And I think it was important for me to be here, to listen to people, to talk to people before making a decision that is obviously going to impact tremendously my family and this country.
Real quickly, you referenced the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. He was here last Friday night for the Amos Tuck fundraising dinner. Donald Trump's another resident of Florida. You know that, Mr. Mayor. Palm Beach, he's coming here a week from Thursday. He's been leading in most of these polls. So let's just stick with Florida. These are two big names out of Florida, even if Donald Trump made his home there, moving from New York City, even though he had his estate and resort there. And Ron DeSantis, how does Mayor Suarez compete just from the Floridians, or now, one Ron DeSantis, the governor, and now Donald Trump resident, who are running for president here? It seems to be Trump and DeSantis. How does Suarez get into that race with other people like Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, and more to come?
Well, I think you have to look at a few things. I think first, extremely early. And, you know, people who were front runners in 2014 turned out not to be the nominees in the 16 election. I think you have to understand that, what I represent is something that I think is unique, right? I'm looking at factors that are going to make us competitive for a generation, a generational candidate, someone with an executive record of success, with a positive vision for the future, and someone that can motivate a new class of voters to become Republicans, which are Hispanics, which are 20% of the population. That's important because if you don't win the election, you don't have an opportunity to govern.
Right.
And I think that's an important factor. So I think those dynamics are only present in one candidate, and that's what's one of the things that's motivating me tremendously to do it. So I don't really get caught up in where people are today, just like I'm sure the former president wasn't caught up at the same time in 2014 with where the polls were, right? That's why we have an election. And I'd say the third thing is, as I've gone to Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada, I'll say this about the people. They're incredible. Number one, they're incredibly educated. They take their responsibility incredibly seriously. And number two, they're open. I always thought, maybe I go to these states and people say, oh, no, don't bother. This is, don't do this. But I found quite the opposite. I found people to be engaging. They care about a lot of issues that sometimes are not the issues that are the main issues in the political lexicon, like the rising price of food, gasoline, and household items, housing, et cetera. And so I think, it's interesting when you have these conversations how sometimes the conversations veer off into different paths
right.
than the one that people are having.
Real quick, we have a listener who sent me a message. One minute to ask you, I did a special. I've been talking for years about this. We need to focus on mental health, addiction, suicide. But the fentanyl poisoning here, I did an hour or two special a few weeks ago with a couple of moms who lost sons to fentanyl. They call it poisoning or an overdose. I imagine Miami is, all cities and towns, every state is a border state, if you will, these days with the battle. How have you fought fentanyl use and distribution and the crisis of addiction in Miami?
Well, Kellyanne Conway, who was a special advisor to the president in the last iteration of a Republican presidency, put forth a piece of legislation that had bipartisan support to limit sort of the prescription drug component of it. I think what needs to be layered on top of that, and by the way, I think this is one of the number one issues in our country, which is the under-resourced, under-discussed problem of mental health, which manifests itself in a variety of different ways, including but not limited to the mass shootings that we see on a continuous basis. One of the things that we now need to look at is, and I think we need to look at this for health generally, is what are we doing preventatively, right? Are we exercising? Are we meditating or praying or whatever it is that you do to take? How are we getting the right nutrition, the right amount of sleep? I mean, we never, as doctors, they're trained to diagnose and prescribe, right? And we spend so little time. That's why I'm so proud of the fact that Miami is the healthiest city in America and also the happiest city in America as ranked. And I don't think it's just about the weather. I think it's about our emphasis on things that will reduce the probability that you get into a mental health crisis. We also only have 608 homeless, and I really want to get to a place where we can be one of the first urban major cities in America to have zero homeless.
Mayor Suarez, thank you for the time. Very generous mayor of Miami, Florida, in New Hampshire today. It sounds like you're going to be running for president.
We'll see. I'll be praying and talking to my family over the next couple of weeks and making a decision one way or the other soon, and I'll let you know as soon as I do.